The Columbia disaster is the latest momentous event to confront the country and its current president, George W. Bush. Standoffs with Iraq and North Korea and, of course, the tragedy of September 11th fill out the list. Historian Robert Dalek studies the American presidency. He says Mr. Bush is facing great challenges, but this is not unique.
This is what presidents do. Presidents are crisis managers. And anyone who goes to the presidency had better understand that this is what they're going to have to deal with.
The president is playing two roles. He's taken on two simultaneous roles today. The comforter-in-chief,
yes,
as he tries to help a grieving nation heal, but also the commander-in-chief as he prepares to lead a somewhat wary nation into the possibility of war.
Our presidents are both our monarchs and our prime ministers. They take care of both the symbols and substance of American politics. And so he has to speak for the nation. He has to heal, so to speak, the suffering, the pain. Ronald Reagan did that with the other shuttle disaster. Bill Clinton did it at the time of Oklahoma City. Lyndon Johnson a few days after Kennedy's assassination. Words are weapons at times like this, in a positive sense, in the sense that they heal the nation. They speak to it in ways that create a positive feeling, a sense of shared suffering, of shared disaster.
But is this truly an extraordinary moment? I mean, he's dealing with brinksmanship in North Korea, the possibility of war in Iraq, a deepening divide with historical allies that could,
yes,
transform the relationship with
Absolutely.
Europe.
Well, it's a moment of great crisis. And, of course, how he handles these matters is very, very important to the future of the country. So I don't want to belittle it for a second. But on the other hand, it's not as if we haven't been through terrible strains and difficulties before. The Cuban Missile Crisis, Johnson's constant struggle over Vietnam, the riots in the inner cities over civil rights. So there are great crises that presidents face. And this doesn't diminish for a second the fact that he has to rise to the occasion. He has to meet the challenge.
Is there a model for this presidency?
For this presidency? Well, there is a model in the sense that Franklin Roosevelt was very wise about going to war. Understood that before you could have a war in which you sacrificed great amounts of blood and treasure, you needed to have a consensus at home. Lyndon Johnson missed that lesson. He drove the country into war by a kind of stealth, and there was bitter division in the United States, and it defeated his presidency. It undermined the war effort, so to speak, and largely left him with a negative historical legacy.
Modern-day presidents, you get this sense that they feel the weight of history on their backs. Do you see that in this president, a concern about how history might remember him?
Oh, without question. Every one of them is so concerned that they walk away from the White House being remembered as great or near great. After all, they have the kinds of egos that drive them to want to be president in the first place, and so then they're very mindful of what history is going to say about them. Also, you see, I think the media has changed the way in which presidents respond to crises. There's instant attention. You know, before radio, television, people could be more deliberate. Presidents could be more cautious, so to speak. But now the pressure on them to act quickly, and that's a great challenge. So you can't sit there and just contrive something, you know, over time. You've got to respond almost instantly to this. And the media instantly judges him, and then it becomes a process of history and people looking back on what he did.
Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Robert Dalek is author of Hail to the Chief, The Making and Unmaking of American Presidents.